He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hi, everyone. It's He Said, She Said, September 2016. And oh my goodness, the summer is slowly fading and the transition into the new season has begun.
It certainly has, and it happened at the end of August here. I love it because I like sleeping. The sleeping weather's way better. It's not so hot, but it's a little cooler, you know, but it's a nice day today. It gets warm in the afternoons, and yes, it's the change. Everything's dying now to be reborn again. Is that what goes on?
I guess so. I'm thinking more about my hammer workout later on this afternoon. It's hammer day. It's time to get hammered, hammer up. For the Hammer Man, I'm excited. One more competition, and we'll talk about that later on. So what's cooking, dear?
Well, what's cooking is fresh juicing. Now, I know that we've talked about this umpteen times. However, I really believe that it's always a good idea to reinforce the benefits of fresh juicing on a daily basis. Don't you?
Of course. I don't know if I want to live without my juice. In fact, what scares me the most about going to prison is nutrition, how much value I would lose and whether or not I could actually mentally survive eating that slop they call food.
Well, then you better behave yourself.
I know, but there'd be no fresh juices, man.
Well, you know, fresh juices are considered vital health-enhancing liquid foods. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is you have to think of a fresh juice as a tonic, right? Rather than just a fresh juice. Think of it as a tonic. It's healing. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, I like to juice the whole fruit. I think it's good to put everything in the blender because then you get all the fiber. Umpteen times we've told people this as well, is that it's easier to assimilate when you're getting just the fresh, clean juice. Right, Corey?
The angle changes. Absolutely. No one's saying that eating a whole food isn't beneficial in many different ways. In fact, it has features that juicing couldn't compete with. But then juicing has elements from a more technical, because it's not in its natural state. You have to create the juice. And when you siphon and extract and modify and alter it, what you're left with is this extremely nice, enzyme-rich, alkaline-forming juice that heals the body. It comes into surface contact with the esophagus and the gut, and the elements inside are absorbed, like you said, very effectively. And it's part of the liquid approach to our daily mornings, right? We wake up, we drink water, then we have fresh juice. And then, of course, we're adding things to our juice. It's not just the juice itself, is it?
No, and one of the things about the fresh juicing is it's really easy to digest. So if somebody's having some health problems in the aged, you know, it's really a good idea to get some fresh juice down them. Like, you don't have to have a great big 10-ounce, 12-ounce glass. You just need a little shot glass of it, you know, maybe 2 or 3 ounces if you like. We don't have a great big one. Ours would probably be, what, maybe 6 ounces that we have?
Something like that, yeah. And like this morning, it was a multi-vegetable juice, so I used the Jack LaLanne juicer, you know. So I used carrots, celery, always use ginger, which gives it a real nice spike, and it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little heavy on the ginger first thing in the morning, I'll let you know. Are those the days you go throw the hammer so that you don't get dizzy, that you add a little extra ginger?
Well, that's what I discovered. You know, throwing the hammer, you have to get over that dizziness. I've always been susceptible to motion sickness, and I don't have that problem if I use ginger, which is well known to treat motion sickness. Now, I could probably, you know, there's a ride at children's playgrounds where you kind of sit in a chair and spin around like a top in a circle. I can still feel nauseousness after doing that. But with the hammer, at least I'm moving along in a line, a little bit different than just staying put along one axis. But still, I do have to do rotation drills, and I'm getting up into 10, 20, 30 rotations in a straight line. And that can change the brain chemistry and affect your balance if you can't adjust to it well.
Yes. Very good, Corey. Very nice. Anyway, and it seems to be working for you. Anyway, I mean, what we do is we alternate our juices. We go from one morning we do citrus, the next morning we'll do a vegetable. It's very important. We have a small kitchen, but we leave our juicer, both juicers, the citrus juicer and the vegetable juicer, on the counter. So it's right there, raring to go every morning. You buy all the fresh fruits, you buy all the fresh vegetables, and they're there in the morning. And the beauty of having the fresh juices is you don't waste any food. We don't waste anything. We either juice it or I throw it in a soup, right?
Exactly. Now, how much parsley do people eat a day? Like, do they eat, like, I put in a large amount of parsley, like raw parsley, into that juice this morning. So
yeah,
people don't eat like mounds of parsley generally as part of their normal diet. You can get things in juice that you wouldn't normally eat that's extremely beneficial, like that chlorophyll, that magnesium. It's alkaline, it's healing. You know, you get like, I don't know how much it weighs, but it's a mound of parsley that you shove down that tube in the juicer and it comes out and it's just concentrated virtue.
And what you have to do is you have to embrace it. You have to love the work that goes into it. Make the juice, prepare it. Get up an extra 15 minutes early and juice first thing in the morning. Get into a habit of doing it. Train your brain to do that, which will be the next thing that we talk about with Dr. Bruce Lipton. And, you know, just get into it and really enjoy it and embrace the fact that you're drinking this tonic first thing in the morning. You know, it's work. Yeah, it's work. Then you got to clean the thing after. But, you know, just get into it because it's all about good health. And that takes no time at all. And people say, I don't have time. Well, you make time. You make the time to do it. Everybody has the same amount of time in a day. Everybody does. We've got those 24 hours. And if that takes you 15 minutes, if you don't have 15 minutes in your life for your own health, then you've got a problem. Then you're living an unhealthy lifestyle. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Holly?
Well, health is about consciousness. You know, we are generating a perception of reality from within based on all the sensory information and the information, the data flow that we have to make up our mind about doing things. So I don't think that people who don't juice really understand the virtue. They don't understand the value. They don't understand the gold, the silver, the incredible life generating value that juicing can do. This is why we've been doing it. You know, I started before I met you. I've been doing it probably for 40 years. It's one of the things I learned when I first got into the field is the benefits of fresh juicing as opposed to drinking Coca-Cola and alcohol, for example.
Yes, and it's balancing for an acid-dominant diet, so it's very alkaline. You can have juice any time of the day, but it's really good to have it first thing in the morning. And then, you know, because you wake up and you're acidic, you have your drink of water, you have your fresh juice, and then we have a little, we don't have a great big cup of coffee. We have a really nice organic cowboy coffee, as we call it, nice and black.
Strong and black, yes.
Yeah, and then we do our protein shake, and then we drink water. So we really don't eat anything till about 1 o'clock. We have a liquid diet. We've been doing that forever that I can remember. I can't remember not doing it, but I know there was a time in my day where in my life when I used to have huge mega toast and eggs and all kinds of good.
Well, if you took a bacon and egg breakfast, like with everything that is normally consumed, let's say that you went to one of the worst possible sources. Say you went to Denny's and ordered a typical bacon and egg hash brown. Now, let's take that whole food, that plate of food, throw it in a blender, and throw, say, a very large glass of water in with it. Now blend it up, and now drink it. And the outcome is going to be quite a bit different than if you sat down and ate it. So that's what people don't understand about shakes and juices. Regardless of the taste, the physiological, the biological impact is different. The absorption would be 100% much, much, much superior and greater. And a lot of what goes on when we eat food associated with pleasure is what doesn't go on when you're consuming food without the drive for pleasure. So in other words, like I enjoy my juices, they're delicious and sweet. Now we add vitamin C, like a tablespoon into a glass, and that makes it more bitter. And people will go, ooh, that's really bitter. Or the ginger in it, really strong. It's like, wow, that, like if you're wearing socks to bed because it's wintertime, it's going to knock your socks off, okay? But I understand ginger. I've studied ginger. I know what ginger does. I know the history of ginger as a plant. Now, all of that knowledge came from study. So if you don't have any of that insight in your brain, you're not motivated to use ginger because you really don't understand what it is and what it can do.
Well, there you have it. So bottoms up, everybody. Get on to the fresh juice, even if you start once in a while. But, you know, really try to make it part of your daily routine. That's important. I mean, especially, you know, seriously, just get into the, onto the, think of it as a tonic. It's a health tonic. And there you have it.
There are friends who visited recently. We're talking about marriage and how you have to work at it. And I was thinking in my brain as they were saying that, exactly. And that's what health is, a four-letter word, work. You have to work at health. You have to create it and make it and sustain it and build it and protect it. You have to consciously do this. You can never stop. You can never cease. You can never take a break. And the secret is wanting to do this and feeling enthusiasm and desire to do it instead of, oh, it's begrudgingly done. I have to do this again. You're never going to do it. You're never going to last. You're never going to make it. This is like an athlete who just doesn't want to show up and do the work. They don't really love the game. They don't really want to make progress. And they usually end up quitting because they're not prepared to do what needs to be done to get to that next level. And that's exactly the same with this health standard.
Well, the whole thing about the health thing is everybody around us is falling apart.
Totally.
And I just say, you know what? I don't want to fall apart. I have so many things that I want to do. I want to be well so that I can look after my grandkids. I want to travel. To get into a plane and do a 10-hour flight, you got to be fit to do that. You know, that's hard work, getting in those airplanes and sitting there, traveling around and dealing with people and getting on the bus and off the bus. And even getting in and out of a car can be detrimental for some people. So, you know, you have to look at it like that. Why do you want to stay well and healthy? It's because you want to live your life and be able to do the things that you want to do. You know, so anyways, get on the tonic.
Right on. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Bruce Lipton, Ph.D. Bruce Lipton, Ph.D. is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit. Stealth Symbiologist, best-selling author of The Biology of Belief, and recipient of the 2009 Goethe Peace Award. Bruce has been a guest speaker of hundreds of TV and radio shows, as well as a keynote presenter for national and international conferences. There's more on his bio on our website. And yes, he is a fantastic speaker. I think that was one of the interviews where you never really said anything.
Well, it's also the first time that somebody, as in the special guest, has said to me, we're not finished yet. We need to keep going. No, normally we shut down around 25, 30 minutes. He said, let's keep going. Let's keep talking. And it was his idea, not mine. I mean, obviously, I like to keep going when I get into a great conversation to no end. You know, I have a reputation for that, to just continue on and on and on until no one's left in the house. I'm just talking to an empty theater, and I'm still going and having a good time. That's the key. But here's a guy that has something really important to say, knows how to say it well, and has been doing it for decades. And he's on to something that is vital and very important for all of us to learn.
It's all new science now. It's all new science, which is very, very interesting, you know, the composition of the environment and how your genes are expressed, and environment controls the genetics of the cell. So he says that we're not victims of our health, we're masters of our health. We can control those genes by what we put into our brains. I just think it's so fascinating. He says the human body is a skin-covered petri dish. Your genes are blueprints. They're molecular blueprints of everything in your environment. It's environmental, which is really cool, isn't it? Because I've always said that with people who have autoimmune disorders need to have a stressless, peaceful environment. Because, you know, if you have a really hectic, overdramatic, fearful lifestyle that's noisy, well, then how can you be peaceful in yourself? And so this will affect your blood. which affects the genes. I just think it's so fascinating, the whole thing. Don't you, dear?
Of course. And Colgan says that we are hairy bags of salty water.
Yes.
So that sort of joins in with Bruce's idea of what you just described. But what stood out for me is that you got to think of your genes as a blueprint. Okay, so we got this blueprint, and he uses the example of the architect. Okay, so you've got this blueprint of, say, a building or a tower or a bridge. You've got the building. Now, the blueprint doesn't do anything. It just sits there on your desk. How do you make that building? By just designing it on paper? No. The paper has to be transcribed, translated into reality. And so that's exactly what's going on inside the body. The blueprint is not in charge. What's in charge of making everything are the signals, the messages. That's the response. And that is what we're trying to get across with the training and nutrition, is that the responses received from exercise and nutrition, if it's good food, are incredibly essential to health and wellness, and that's what makes the difference, but not overnight, day by day, month by month, year by year, and then you end up at 50 in excellent physical shape.
He says about the brain, it interprets the environment. So the chemistry released by the brain is based on the picture in your mind, how you see the world. And if we change the environment we live, it changes the chemistry in the brain. So basically, it's pretty simple stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Like if you live in Hawaii, your skin's going to get darker. Now, if your children's 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 for the next 1,000 generations live there, they're going to end up looking different than when you started, because it's all about adaptation. So the environment that we live in, that we work in, the friends we associate with, the city that we live in has an absolute definite impact on the programming of our brain, the way that we think. Unless we insulate our brains and protect our brains from the dogma, from the disempowering ideas and thoughts that affect our behavior, you know, that rob us of our own initiative. You know, we think that we're victims. And in fact, what Bruce was saying, you're not a victim. All you have to do is understand who and what you are. And once you do, you realize that you're a master of your own destiny.
Well, that's what he said the pharmaceutical companies are trying to keep down. They don't want you to take care of yourself. They don't want you to realize that you're the
master. Of course, it's not good for business if you're looking after yourself.
No, exactly.
You and I are terrible for business.
I know.
Big pharma. They don't like us.
The movie The Matrix, he says, is like real. He says, we've all been programmed. And he says about 70% of us are programmed with disempowering behaviors. So, I mean, like you can, when you take a look at it like that, you can really see why it's going on around you, why there's so much poverty or so much violence and, you know, whatever it may be that's negative, you know. It's I thought it was very interesting. But the first 7 years of your life is downloading behavior programs, learning to react to the observations, the first 7 years of your life. So I'm listening to all this and I'm thinking, what happened to me in my first 7 years? But half the time you don't remember anyways, right? You can remember up to maybe grade one or grade two, or right?
Well, if you think about this objectively, if you look at, say, a Muslim in some Middle Eastern country, okay, then a Christian in some Christian-based country, and then, say, a Buddhist in some Buddhist-based country, okay? Now, the kids are born into those families. They have absolutely nothing to do, the children themselves, with what they're being inundated with. The parents, the society, the temples, the priests, everyone is pushing into their brain what they think is true. But they had nothing to do with that. They didn't create it. They didn't invent it. They are just receiving that information, and they're being told that it's absolutely true. So this is why it's important to travel and talk to people and realize that what people think is true often has nothing to do with what they've thought about. It has everything to do with what they believe is true based on what someone else told them. And this is why I love evidence. You know, you watch your investigation shows, and these guys that are put in jail for rape are freed because of something called DNA evidence. It's evidence that we need before we make a decision about anything. Otherwise, we just need to leave it alone and not make a decision because we don't know whether it's true or not. We need evidence to move forward. And the evidence that I love in exercise and nutrition is that if you do the right things continuously, it creates the most positive, wonderful outcome you can imagine.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself, Dr. Hawley. But he says basically at the end of the day, in order to have a more peaceful world, which he's looking at, more peace, he won a prize for that, is make love, not war. Because when you're in love, everything is wonderful. Things that you didn't like before, maybe you didn't like your job, now all of a sudden, your job's not so bad now. Because all that chemistry going on in your brain by being in love has helped change. It's changed your environment and how you perceive the world. So basically, it's like make love, not war. So I just want to thank Bruce so much. It was an eye-opening interview.
Well, I respect a man of peace, okay? A man who by nature is not going to provoke someone and instigate violence. For no reason at all, other than the person being there or in their way, like colonists have done world over, nation over, society over, to actually go in somewhere and to steal and destroy and kill, that is violence, okay, from the mind of the perpetuator. Now, he is talking about a peace inside. Now, all of my life as a kid, going back as far as I can remember, I've been by nature peaceful. I don't like violence. I don't like violence in sport. I don't like to hurt people. I don't need to prove my manhood by smashing some guy's head in, okay? But life around me has been the source of a lot of my frustration and difficulty in managing myself the way I felt. So I think a lot of people out there also by nature, especially in our industry, because the naturopathic functional medicine, the nature of medicine is to heal and save lives, not destroy them. Okay, so if you're in this field and you're trying to help people, you can't possibly foster violence as part of your message because violence is what destroys and kills. It hurts, it maims, it causes injury and damage. So the piece that he and I were talking about, I said, what about people who say, oh, you know, Corey, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You want to live in a world of peace. He basically gave me the message I wanted. Ignore them. Ignore them. You continue to stand up for peace and be a peaceful man and live a peaceful life, like the peaceful warrior of Dan Millman, right? You're tough, you're strong, you're an incredible athlete, you're like a Spartan, but you exist never to initiate violence, and you try and find every possible alternative way in diplomacy to avoid the encounter that leads to violence by using your brain. By using the mastery of your intelligence, which most of the brutes have no concept of or will never find in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely. Well, that was a fantastic. Well, like all of them, all of our interviews are spectacular. And some of them you have to listen to them a few times to really get the gist of it. But that one is a wonderful interview. Makes you want to change the way that you program and the pictures that you see. Pretty pictures, only pretty pictures. Okay, well, that's it. Thank you, Bruce.
All right, so what's your hot topic?
My hot topic for this month is about masters competition, because that is the masters and the seniors athletic competitions are very popular today, and they are all literally held all over the world. Now, in order to be able, a master apparently is 30 and over, and seniors is 55 and over. If you're 55 and over and you want to compete, you better be in good shape because you've got to get to some of these destinations. Because some of these destinations, like there was a gal who was in that competition that you were in, was 100 years old from India alone. The trip here would have hurt somebody. But anyway, I would like to give you a congratulations on winning a gold medal in the hammer throw at the Masters competition. In your age bracket, you done good. And I just want everybody to know that gold medal was a real chick magnet.
Wasn't that funny? How, because I was one of the first that we were mobbed out by this like group of athletes, 5,100 in total. And we all met to initiate the march towards the cauldron, which is right beside Canada Place, the Olympic Flames and all of that. And I was one of the first on the first day to win a gold medal. So almost nobody there in that large group had a medal of course, the gold one is the one that stands out. And you're right. I was literally mobbed out. And photographers were taking pictures of me. People were coming up to
hilarious.
Me. It's wonderful. I mean, the comradeship, the spirit of goodwill is so wonderful in these Masters events.
But that's what I really noticed. I mean, I've done competition in other things in my life, but I was at a younger age, and there was not as much goodwill and good sportsmanship as I saw with these people. I mean, they're all older, more mature people. I would say there wasn't a lot of 30-year-olds in it. I'd say 40 and over, 45 and over. And there was 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds, and they had competition from ping pong to tennis to rugby, you name it. So basically, not just a congratulations to you, and I know you've got more competitions coming up, and you see yourself progress. That's one of the things about doing a competition, is it gives you a goal where that day you get to see all that hard work that you've done prior to see that you are progressing. Now, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit of progression is very inspiring to continue, isn't it?
Well, yes, and also knowing that you can't at every single competition achieve a world record. You can't even compete or outcompete yourself. Like, for example, at the Rio Olympics, Paweł Jędrzejczyk, he's Polish hammer, top number one in the world, he didn't throw far enough to qualify for the final round. Now, he was the one that everyone thought was going to get a world record or win the event. He didn't even qualify. Now, does that mean that he's not one of the best? No, it just proves to me, and I saw this with our Canadian pole vaulter. I saw this with other athletes, you know, because they're featured and elevated, and there's a lot of light cast on them and all this. You can see that from their point of view, they're doing their best, just like I did my best at this America's Masters Games in Vancouver recently. I always go and try and do my best, and then you try and rely, hopefully, on a lot of the work that you've done behind the scenes, you know, and that's really what makes the difference. Have you done the work? Have you put out, this is exactly like health and our lifestyle. Have you done the work that's necessary to give you the value? So I'll say this again, I've said it a million times. I never go to win. I go to do my best to see whether or not I'm capable of making progress, which I am, and that makes me feel better. It makes me inspired. And then I also look and see other athletes that are much better than me because they've been training longer or because they have natural skills and all that. And I'm inspired by that. I'm there to learn. I want to learn more from the masters, literally in this case, the masters.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So I encourage everyone out there to get out there and maybe take a look and see what's happening in the Masters and the Seniors competitions. I do know that they are having the Seniors, is it just the BC Seniors? No, it's the...
The BC Senior Games, yes.
BC Senior Games here, right here in Vernon at the new track. And I'm sure there'll be different venues for the different sports as well. But yeah, that's up and coming. But they're all over the world. And if you like to travel, and you know, there's a little niche of people that you're going to meet, the same people all the time. So that's how they get together. You know, nobody's working anymore. They're all retired. And this is what they do. This is their thing. You have to keep yourself well in order to be able to play the sport. You have to keep yourself well in order to be able to travel to get to that sport. Like I was saying about that 100-year-old woman who sprinted. What did she do? 100 meter?
Yes.
It took her a minute and a half, but she did it. By George, she did it. A minute and a half, and she's 100 years old. But she flew from India to get here, right? Now, that's a heck of a long ways. You got to be fit just to travel. So, you know, it all goes hand in hand because there's a lot of people out there that want to compete and want to get out there and travel, but they can't because they're not well enough. So it's really a good initiative to stay well so that you can do the things you want to do. But that's my hot topic.
Yeah. By the way, the World Masters Games, this is an international multi-sport event that's held every 4 years. So the America's Masters Games was a new initiative created by BC Sport and the province of British Columbia. And I don't know where that's going to go from here, but it's like the Olympics and the World Championships and the Pan American Games. It's all part of a circuit. So what I love about athletics, which is the name for track and field, okay, that's one of the sports that was at the America's Masters Games. There was like 25 different sports, like tennis or table tennis, for example, lacrosse, many different sports. So it provides an opportunity for anybody to get involved in something that they really enjoy, whether it's a team or an individual sport. Now, the World Masters Athletic Competition, this is just for track and field only. They're every 2 years, and they're all over the world, and they draw up to 10,000 athletes just for track and field, because track and field is not a violent sport in terms of human interaction. Now, nature can be violent, and it can really rip through. And I'm telling you, when I'm throwing that hammer, I can wrench my neck or blow up my back, and it's really strenuous and hard. These are the elements you have to overcome. But the human element of violence, as in, say, football or mixed martial arts or in many other sports where people are actually with intention hurting each other, like in boxing, physically hurting another human being on purpose to try and achieve victory. That's not what track and field is all about. Like a pole vaulter is not hurting any other person. He's putting himself maybe at risk, but there's a way not to put yourself at risk if you understand how to perform the sport with elegance. And this is exactly what we're supposed to do in life. Live with elegance so that we don't put ourselves in harm's way. But you can still bring yourself to this very high level of form and function.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. That's the hot topic. Okay.
So what about you, dear? What about you and your master's sport activity?
Hey, don't pressure me.
No, but aren't you a competitive Bollywood dancer?
The category is called World Dance. So it's all, you know, it's more the international dance. It's not Latin or ballroom. It's just, it's that type of dancing. It's under world dance. But I mean, if I might put my Bollywood dancers into a competition, you know, I'm starting the Vernon Ladies Latin Dance Team. I'm going to be starting that. And the reason that I do all the, I'm not dancing as much, but I am doing a lot of more choreography now, is because it's a creative outlet of expression for me. If I just had to do one style and one dance only, I'd go mental. I've never been able to do that. I always have to do all different styles of dancing because it's fun. I go from rumba to a Charleston to a tango to a Viennese waltz to a swing, you know, to a nice jazz routine. Just change it up a little bit. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I would, you know, I go to the track. I just went to the track this morning, and I do a power walk, and I do all my lunges, and, you know, I just get the fresh air first thing in the morning when nobody's out there. It's like 6:30 in the morning. It's fantastic. Once a week, I do that with my girlfriend. You know it takes a lot of energy to compete, and I've had my day of a lot of dance competitions, and we did the fitness, and I did the bodybuilding, but, you know, I'm kind of enjoying where I'm at right now, doing what I'm doing. And maybe one day I wanted to get into the speed walking, but the kids were all watching me speed walk and they thought it looked goofy and funny. And it does look kind of goofy and funny, but I think that's more my style of speed walking. Anyways, that was it.
Right on. Well, that's cool. So remember, everybody out there, one of the worst states to be in as a human being is bored. I don't know which is worse, being depressed or being bored, but if you're bored, if you have an element of time in your life that you want to expend and do something that's positive, think about getting involved as a master's athlete in the sport that you love. You have to love it. And then you start training for it. And then, like, for example, this year, it's been wonderful. I went to Kamloops, and then I went to Kelowna for the BC Championships. This is the Masters now. And then I went to the America's Masters and now the BC Games. And so that'll be it for this year. But the next year, we've got the Canadian Championships. We've got the American Championships. I could take this to a level that I would be year-round competing in track and field if I wanted to, and just that alone. And that's how big it is. And all the other sports, in many ways, are just as big. So, you know, if you're seeking friendship and fun and travel and competing and going to different gyms and learning different methods how to train and all of this, my goodness, this last 6 months has been wonderful for me. The friends I've met, this new track here in Vernon, we're going to create a throwers club next year. It's led to so many new things without me being involved with, I would never have imagined. So That's just
a
little piece.
You're dealing with people your own age as well, which is kind of refreshing. I think it's good to relate to all different age groups, like from little kids to teenagers to you know, 20s, 30s, and then people your own age. I think it's really good to connect with people your own age who are fit, healthy, and well, and have already had a life with children, and they can talk about their experiences. I like that. That's what I like. But anyways, there you have it.
Right on. So that's cool. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Marshall Field. Goodwill is the only asset that competition cannot undersell or destroy.